Today is Trinity Sunday, a day for us as Catholics to reflect on the past two Sundays, as we celebrated the Ascension of Christ to the Father's right side on Ascension, the Feast of the Ascension, and of course we celebrated the great giving of the gift of the Holy Spirit to the Church at Pentecost. And today we contemplate the mystery of the Holy Trinity. One God in three divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the Blessed Trinity, we see unity in love. Unity in love. As each person in the Trinity is distinct, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so we in Christ's mystical body, the Church, are also distinct. As members of one body, each of us has a particular role. Each divine person in the Trinity, as we notice, has a particular role, so we in the Church have our own roles as well. Everything, though, everything that we are, everything about us, every work, everything is out of and in love. That's the whole point. After all, God is love, and we are made in the image and likeness of God, and we see that every human person is called to love another. The Trinity is unity in love. The Church is meant to be united in love. Love of God and love of one another. And this is how we make disciples. It's all out of love. As St. Paul himself tells us that even if we were to do great and magnificent works and preach all kinds of wonderful things, and no matter what we do, if we did these things for the wrong reasons, in other words, as he would say, if this was done without love, it absolutely comes to nothing. It's all empty show. We look at the family, and the Christian family becomes an example, a human example, of the Blessed Trinity. That you have a man and a woman drawn together, of course, by love. They pledge their love to one another, and the two become one, united in that love. And in the love between husband and wife, parents then bring forth children as the fruit of their love. It's a wonderful thing that God has planned. Parents, of course, first of all, being spouses, are there to bring one another to Christ, and then as parents, they bring their children to Christ. Pastors and teachers and others help to educate the members of Christ's body, the Church, in the teachings and the ways of Christ. Friends, relatives, all of us should share faith in one another, for we'll share our faith with one another, and to help one another to live the Christian life while we're living it out ourselves. And that's the expectation that Jesus has, that we become better disciples ourselves, and by our Christian holiness, by our acts of love, bring others to him. His desire is that we be one, one in faith, one in hope, and one in love. So does the Lord want the entire world to be Christian? Of course he does. He said that in the Gospel. He tells us to go out and to teach all nations and explain to them the things that he himself has commanded us and taught us. He said so. He also prayed for all of us at the Last Supper, first for the apostles, and then for all of us who would receive our faith in Christ from them. But he prayed that all of us might be one, just as he and the Father are one. And he sent us the Holy Spirit to forge that unity. There is one Lord, St. Paul says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and only one God who is the Father of all. We also read in the Acts of the Apostles, where the apostles themselves proclaim that there is no other name by which we are saved but that of Jesus Christ, only in the name of Christ. So we must go and make disciples of all the nations, bring them to come to know and love Christ through our words and our deeds that stem from faith and love. Now I realize that the events that take place over across town at Sacred Heart School do not affect every family in this parish directly, but it certainly has affected our entire community in one way or another. And up until now I have not said much about the goings-on at Sacred Heart School, but things have come to an extremely serious point, and some grave issues certainly need to be addressed. First of all, I have talked to and listened to a lot of people, and I mean a lot of people, over the past year or so about school concerns. Now keep in mind that I have no say-so whatsoever in school administration, and I have very little influence there, but I can at least listen to and give people advice and give them my own thoughts and advice after listening to what they have to say about the goings-on there. I can say this. I do know that there are many, many very good people, lots of good people who do have legitimate concerns and legitimate complaints. Many of my own parishioners have had very bad experiences and have valid reasons for being upset. I also agree that the school's advisory board should never have been completely abolished. I certainly see the need for advisory boards like parish councils, etc. They are of vital importance to pastors and other leaders so that people can have a connection to what's been done in the past and so on. I am indeed concerned about the termination of some of the faculty. And I know that the school's athletic program is in jeopardy and that it's one of the major concerns. But I also know that it's not the only concern. I've heard words like bully and dictatorship being used to describe the school's administration. And of course, we all know that there have been protests that were staged. Now, don't get me wrong, and hear me well. As I said, I know that there are indeed legitimate concerns and legitimate complaints being raised by very good people with very good intentions. I have no problem with somebody wanting to voice a valid opinion, even in protest. It's not what I would do personally, but I believe that it is a person's right to be heard. But there is also a time, a place, and a way to do that. And there's also not a time and not a place or a way to do that. For example, it's not good to raise all kinds of noise where students are testing, or at a time when people are going to Mass, or going to someone or another priest's parish while confirmation is going on, as I made very clear a few weeks ago. Now, while there are, as I said, very good people who are very well-intentioned, there are also other very mean-spirited and hateful persons who are causing deeper and deeper anger and division. As I've said, I've listened to a lot of people on all sides of the argument, and I've come to the conclusion that no side is 100% right and no side is 100% wrong. And this is true just to kind of cross the board in everything in life, from politics down to this. That's just reality. However, all the shouting and the yelling, the name-calling, the vindictive spirit that's dividing our school, that same spirit is dividing our families, our churches, and our community, all this has got to stop. There is enough of that. All this uproar has led to hatred, vulgarity, and vandalism, and we don't need that and certainly don't want that in Ville Platte. And certainly, we don't want this anywhere near where God himself is worshipped. This is not going to help anyone's cause and serves only to make matters worse. Now, whether there's a connection to the act of sacrilege that was perpetrated earlier that I said talked about before Mass, I don't know, but I can say that it does show that it stems from that same sort of hatred for the pastor of Sacred Heart and dealings with the school and with what happened with the perpetrated sacrilege of the Eucharist. It's all that spirit of hatred. The committee that was appointed by Bishop Jarrell, this Blue Ribbon Committee, was formed to listen to complaints, to be open to suggestions, and to make recommendations to the bishop, the pastor of Sacred Heart, and the superintendent of Catholic schools. If you'd like to meet this committee, they'll be at the school gym this afternoon at 3 p.m. for an introduction and a prayer service. Go to them. Give them your recommendations. Give them your thoughts, your concerns. They need to hear these things, and they want to hear these things. But through all that, though, I also know that what the bottom line is for a large contingent, a large and vocal contingent, is that the principal herself be removed. Now be very careful. All this dissatisfaction is turning into anger, and from this anger can turn into hatred and near bloodlust, and it's just about there. Yes, I do believe that in many hearts sin is being committed. Quite frankly, if I were the chancellor of the school myself, I probably would not let go of the principal under this climate of anger and hate. One does not give in to a mob mentality, and we can't have that, especially when there are demands being made in an unchristian fashion. Two wrongs do not equal one right. Let the committee do its job. If there have been wrongdoings of any kind, they will be discovered. Help the committee. Cooperate with them. But above all else, pray. Pray for them. In fact, I think that in truth, if everyone had put as much time and energy into praying for the school and praying for everyone involved instead of protesting, then things might be a little bit better and have gone a little bit better. So maybe it's time for us to get off the sidewalks and put down the signs and instead get down on our knees and pick up the rosary. That, my friends, I do believe will effect a lot more good. Let's also remember that as Christian adults, we have a responsibility to give an example to our children, to do what Jesus said, to go forth and make disciples. We are all teachers. All of us are teachers in one way or another. You know, a Catholic school is very different from a private school. Catholic schools are founded to graduate Christian leaders, to form young men and women spiritually, morally, academically. The Catholic faith is primary, absolutely primary. Academics follow after the faith, and athletics and sports, while certainly good, should not be at the top of the list and should not become the golden calf diverting attention away from faith and wisdom. Finally, we have to respect the authority of the office of the bishop and the pastor. You may not like the bishop, and for whatever reasons you may not like the pastor, but that doesn't give us the right to say horrible things about them. There have been bishops that I've disagreed with, some priests that maybe because of personality issues I don't care for myself. But when it comes to the bishop, every cleric makes a promise of respect and obedience because this is an authority, an office that is given to him by Almighty God himself through ordination. So even if you don't like them, respect them for the leadership that's been entrusted to them by God himself. We're also supposed to respect one another as Christians and love one another. We may not like one another, but the commandment of Christ is to love. And that even goes for the principle of Sacred Heart School. The image of our community has suffered enough damage. Our community itself has suffered enough damage. It's time to let go of the anger and start looking at the impact this is having on our children, and also the impact it's having on other people outside of our community who are looking at all this and questioning what's going on. What kind of disciples are we? What kind of disciples is Christ calling us to be? Look to Christ. Look to Mary. Follow Christ, and follow Mary's example of humble obedience and prayer, wanting to do nothing but God's will. Pray, love, and be one. Work for unity and peace, in the spirit of unity and peace. As St. Paul tells us today in the second reading, you know, those who follow the Spirit's lead are truly the sons and daughters of God, and that is following the Holy Spirit that he gave us. May we live by that Spirit, and live as God's sons and daughters, as brothers and sisters in Christ, obeying Christ and loving one another, that we may truly become disciples worthy of the name.